Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 97 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Our main story? The outbreak has a new epicenter in Latin America. But why have some Latin American countries managed to slow new infections, while others are becoming new hotspots? But first, here's what happened in virus news today. For the first time, a drug has been shown to improve COVID-19 patients' chances of surviving. It's a low-cost, anti-inflammatory called dexamethasone, and it's been on the market for decades. A study by University of Oxford researchers found that patients who needed breathing support were less likely to die over a period of 4 weeks when they were on the drug. For patients who weren't on ventilators or oxygen therapy, there was no benefit. A number of anti-inflammatory drugs are being studied around the world for helping coronavirus patients cope with a powerful immune system overreaction, sometimes called a cytokine storm. Texas reached a record level of COVID-19 hospitalizations, with the biggest daily jump since June 4th, according to state health department data. Meanwhile, Florida reported that new cases rose to the highest level since the pandemic began. They are among several states where the coronavirus outbreak is worsening. Finally, Beijing has raised its COVID-19 emergency response to the second highest level after coronavirus infection cases resurged, according to China Central Television. All schools will restore online courses, and college students will stop returning to campus.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
And now, today's main story. As the pandemic spreads around the world, new hotspots are emerging. Coronavirus is spiking in Brazil, Mexico, Peru, and elsewhere. And health experts have called Latin America the new epicenter of the pandemic. The Americas, with more than 3.8 million reported cases, is now the hardest hit region in the world. But the impact has been uneven. Some countries have successfully slowed the rate of new infections. Others see that rate continuing to climb. Bloomberg senior editor Jason Gale spoke with the World Health Organization's top official for the region to find out what makes some populations especially vulnerable.
Dr. Carissa Etienne is director of the Pan-American Health Organization. She says the United States has the most cases, but other parts of the region are seeing an uptick in cases as well.
We are seeing rising levels of transmission, some of them exponentially, in Brazil, in Chile and Peru, in South America, in Mesoamerica, in Mexico, also Panama and Costa Rica.
At the start of the pandemic, Latin American countries closed their borders and issued physical distancing measures. But Carissa says the virus eventually came in with returning travelers.
So the early cases of COVID-19 were returning nationals who had been to Europe, holidaying in Spain and Italy and France for the most part. And then they were returning home and were being diagnosed.
These initial cases often had the space and financial resources to self-isolate, so it was easy to control the spread. But Carissa says eventually COVID reached poor and vulnerable communities where transmission was much harder to contain. That was especially the case in crowded urban areas with inadequate access to water and sanitation.
In many of our vulnerable populations, they belong to an informal economy. So they have to go out every day. They must go out every day for their livelihood. They share public transportation. They cannot implement physical distancing. There is no facility for hand washing. So in fact, all of the public health measures that we are insisting to be able to protect yourself, they can't.
Carissa says there's another reason why the poor have disproportionately suffered from this outbreak.
They don't have significant access to health services. Even when the government says, well, you can come to health services and it's free. But they are so not used to running to a health service for a cough or a cold because normally they would have to pay, or the service is so far away from them. So that's complicates really the efforts of the government to slow the transmission.
Carissa says the coronavirus is exposing vulnerabilities among certain racial and ethnic groups.
The migrant population, the urban population that are living in low-income areas, Afro-descendants, so the Black population in Latin America is a vulnerable group as well. We saw around the Amazon basin, we are seeing really large number of outbreaks with large number of cases. The two most vulnerable groups in even Brazil is your Afro-descendant population and the indigenous population.
And when they catch the coronavirus, they're more likely to get sicker because they already suffer from higher rates of tuberculosis, diabetes, and chronic diseases known to increase the severity of COVID-19. And that also makes them potentially more infectious.
When they come into contact with a COVID-19 case, it just spreads in that community.
Carissa says Latin America is also experiencing a rise in cases because countries don't have sufficient access to gloves, face masks, and other personal protective equipment, or PPE, gear needed to keep healthcare workers safe. It isn't made locally, and shortages have led to infections among healthcare workers.
The percentage rates differ from countries to countries, but yes, we are seeing a moderate level of infection of healthcare workers. Because they have no PPEs, because they have to reuse PPEs, that is a problem.
Still, Carissa says some Caribbean nations have managed to contain transmission.
They're a small population, but they very early, they instituted very strict public health measures. They closed their borders. They instituted lockdowns, severe social distancing. They did a lot of risk communications. As well, they were prepared with testing. They did contact tracing, they isolated, and they quarantined. They were a perfect public health case. And I think what has helped the English-speaking Caribbean as well, all of them have well-developed primary health care systems with public health. And so they have already healthcare workers in the districts who are trained to do contact tracing, who are trained to visit, do home visiting, they know where the population lives and who they are.
Carissa says the intensity of COVID-19 differs across the Americas, and there's no uniformity in when transmission will peak. By and large, cases are still rising, and modelling predicts that might continue for some weeks.
Certainly for countries in Latin America, the 12 countries or so, that we will continue to see rise in transmissions, and probably the next 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. So in Haiti, we probably will see peaking maybe in 6 weeks or 5 weeks. You know, what worries us and concerns us is that even with the rising transmission, some countries are looking to open up, to relax the stay-at-home measures, and more people entering the workplace, entering societies.
Carissa was responsible for drawing up the region's plan for an influenza pandemic in 2006. She says the coronavirus pandemic is nothing like she'd imagined. COVID-19 has taught her a couple of things: the importance of a solid primary health system and equitable access to health care.
I have characterized this pandemic as a crisis of health, a crisis of the economy, and a social crisis. And I think as we go forward, we need to plan differently. So we need to do social inclusion and look after people's needs much better. But I think we need to think going forward and with an approach that is based on equity, on human rights, and solidarity, because really countries cannot think of going it alone. They have to come together. They have to share experiences.
While economic development has been a major priority for many countries in the Americas, the pandemic has shown how quickly and devastatingly a virus can undermine years, if not decades, of prosperity. Carissa says she's no doubt the world will face more pandemics. What's important is that we learn the lessons from this one.
That was Jason Gale in Melbourne. And that's our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Jordan Gaspure, Magnus Hendrickson, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Jason Gale. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Francesca Levy and Rick Schein. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.